Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to another brand new edition of Evan and Tiki on this beautiful, gorgeous, fall-like Wednesday in New York City. We got a ton to get to. We'll react to the Mets-Tigers game when it goes final. A major blow to the New York Jets just days before the season, and the Dallas Cowboys are declaring war on the New York Giants. We'll get to all of that over the course of the next 4.5 hours. But it's funny, man. Baseball's a long season. Aaron Boone once said it's a long-ass season. And it's likely, if not common, to have your opinions change from April to May to June, July, August, and September. But I say this on September 3rd. I'm going to make a statement to you, Tiki. Mm-hmm. It's a statement I made on April 3rd. It's a statement I made on March 3rd. And while many Yankee fans in the audience will aghast, like, oh, aghast in disgust, it was a true statement in April, and it's a true statement in September. I watched you guys against the Astros. I've even watched you guys against the Red Sox, who you've struggled against. I'm watching the Mets win a series in Detroit. We'll see if it's a sweep or not. And I will tell you definitively on September 3rd, despite what many in the media will tell you, despite what some of your fans will tell you, despite even what your brain tells you once in a while, the New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. They are the team to beat. And what I ask to anyone who's aghast at that comment is, tell me where I'm wrong. The Blue Jays aren't better than you. I'm watching the Tigers. They're not better than you. We watched the Astros last night. Framber Valdez, the ace, is trying to injure his catcher because he's so pissy about giving up a grand slam to Trent Grisham. Like, I'm sorry. I know you guys are still emotional over losing a lot of series to good teams, but I told you then, and I'll tell you now, it doesn't mean anything. When you look at the roster, when you look at the rotation, when you look at the lineup, when you look at everything, it ain't the Astros, it ain't the Blue Jays, it ain't the Tigers, and it ain't the Red Sox. The New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
You're not telling lies, Evan. You're absolutely right. They are the best team in the American League. They were the best team when the season started, even despite losing Juan Soto. They were the best team a quarter of the way through the season, halfway through the season at the All-Star break. They are the best team. The problem is they don't play like the best team consistently enough. If they put it all together like they do at times, especially against bad teams, but even as like they did last night against the Houston Astros, who the hell's beating them? Nobody. Right? If Jazz Chisholm is dialed in, guess what? Nobody's beating him. If Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge in the postseason, nobody's beating them. Giancarlo Stanton, we know it all. And like we don't even talk about their pitching enough sometimes because we get frustrated with how inconsistent the last month has been. But Max Fried was phenomenal yesterday.
Right.
And he wasn't perfect, but you know what? He knew his stuff wasn't on to start, so he just give me some ground balls. Let me get through these first couple innings till I find my stuff. And then guess what? He found it and pitched 6 innings. Same thing goes for Carlos Rodon, who we don't even talk about enough because we have this, I don't know, this like maybe this tortured early history from when he first got here, and it just wasn't what we thought we were paying for. But there's two guys in Major League Baseball that have 15 wins. They're both Yankees, right? And Cam Schlittler has turned into this phenom coming out of the minor league. So the Yankees rotation is set. They got clutch players. They got star players. They have role players because Trent Grisham has turned into, I don't know, a second coming of himself. And then you look at this team and it's you wonder how they lose. But then you see them play. And it's like, oh, that's why. Because Anthony Volpe, you forgot how to be a shortstop. And we blunder on the bases because, you know what, it's just we're taking it easy, lackadaisical. And so this is why when people start getting frustrated with the Yankees, they don't necessarily get frustrated at the players, Volpe notwithstanding. They get frustrated at the manager because how does a good team with all of this talent just seem like they're laissez-faire too often.
Right.
That's leadership. That's management. And so Boone takes a lot of this heat because he's not forceful. He's protecting his players. I mean, just a case in point, and we briefly hit this, and we've talked about it really for the last 2 months, but the fact that Anthony Volpe was allowed to feel like he was okay is not okay, right? Hey, he'll be fine. He's a good player. Yeah, he'll hit. Oh, these errors are an anomaly. He's a good shortstop. No, he's not, right? When you have 15 or 16 errors, whatever the heck it is at this point, I missed some games when I was away in Greece, so I don't know if it's even more. But you know what my point is? They made it seem like it was okay. It is not okay. And you need to sometimes be told, and told publicly or expressed publicly by not playing, that you're not good enough.
I think that is an absolutely fair critique of this manager and the issues that Volpe went through during the season. All fair game. And I am not telling you here in the first 7 minutes of the show that the Yankees are flawless. Of course they have flaws. Mm-hmm. They are not a perfect team. I'm not arguing that they're even better than last year's team, or they're the 98 Yankees, or they're anything else.
Well, they don't have Juan Soto, so they can't be better than last year's team, right?
And it doesn't matter, because they're not facing last year's team. So it's irrelevant. You don't have to face the ghosts of the past.
Right.
What I simply argue, just as a baseball fan, just as a guy who sits there and watches a lot of baseball, and watches your team play the Yankees, watches the Mets play, just watches baseball, I don't think the Detroit Tigers are better than you. I don't think the Toronto Blue Jays are better than you. And despite the Red Sox success against the Yankees, mm-hmm. I have minimized the Red Sox all year long. They deserve credit. And so I'll give it to them. They've had a wonderful year. They have defied my expectations. I'm probably going to be wrong, and they're going to be a playoff team.
Right.
So I'll give them the flowers. But I'll stand by the fact I think the Yankees are a more talented team. And they got major questions right now. Roman Anthony, who's going for an MRI today, and Garrett Crochet, who gave up 7 runs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are better than their competition. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, a little spoiler alert for you. When we're sitting here a month and a half from now, and the Yankees go on another deep October run, the haters and the losers are going to tell you, who'd you beat? The teams are bad. I'm not telling you that, because I don't care who I beat.
Right.
Go beat who's in front of you. I never said that about the Yankees last year. Haters and losers did. Oh, it's the Royals. It doesn't count. It's the Guardians. It doesn't count. It all counts. When I look around at this league, and it's not about knocking the American League. You may hear that. I know Sean is hearing that right now. I'm mocking the American League. I'm not. I'm talking about your competition. Name me a team in the American League who has a better 1-2 punch than Max Fried and Carlos Rodon. You going to give me Bayo and Crochet? Is that going to be your response?
You lose both games in that case.
I don't feel that way. Max Fried won game 6 of the World Series. When has Garrett Crochet done that other than an episode of MLB The Show?
You're more confident in Max Fried than Garrett Crochet in a one game off?
I'm more confident in that top two than the top two I just named in Boston. Tariq Skubal's great. What about after him?
You're thinking about this in the wrong
way. I'm not thinking about it in any wrong
way.
How about Toronto?
How should he be thinking about it?
Evan, this is very simple. On paper, are the Yankees the most talented team in the American League? If that's the conversation we're having, sure, they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being the best baseball team in the American League. And the ultimate goal of getting to a World Series, winning a World Series, involves playing the game of baseball. The Yankees will not have a managerial advantage in any of these series versus any of these
teams?
In
any of these series.
Okay, you want to say...
In any of
not
these
the
series?
Tigers. I don't think they have a better manager than the Blue Jays. They don't have a better manager than the Red
won?
Sox.
What has John
Schneider won?
He's got no World Series. What has John Schneider won? Like, now all of a sudden, John Schneider's got a managerial edge on Aaron Boone?
Are
we serious?
I didn't say edge. I don't think Boone has a clear edge on him. I don't. Okay, that's number one. Number
Does
two.
Does he have a Joey Espada? Does he have an edge?
Think about this.
A.J. Hinch is the one, of course. I'm not going to argue A.J. Hinch.
A.J. Hinch and Cora?
Those are two guys. What about the other guys?
Those
I just
are
mentioned?
Two guys out of the five you're going to see.
You just said, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, they will not have an edge in any series. I just named two of them.
Yeah, and I don't believe that Boone has a clear edge. You want to call it even? Fine. Aaron Boone has not proven that he has an edge on any of those guys. And I don't even dislike Aaron Boone. It's the truth.
Sean, he managed a team to the World Series last year.
Great.
When has John Schneider done that?
Okay, if John Schneider with this year's Blue Jays team was playing last year's Royals and Guardians, is he managing them to the World Series?
Come on. You're using the same argument the haters and losers are.
No, I'm not, Evan, because
is he wrong? That's the question. He's using a bad argument, but is he wrong about it?
It's more nuanced than that. It's easy to talk about paper. And you want to bring up the Yankee rotation. And I am pumped up about what we've seen from Cam Schlittler. And I love Max Fried. But you know how this goes in Major League Baseball, bro. You play a playoff series and you throw ace versus ace in game one. Man, the Yankees, we've seen them time in and year out get shut down by aces and spoil ace-like efforts from their own guys. You lose that Max Fried game and you're sitting there going, we got Carlos Rodon in game two. Who the hell is confident in that?
Who is confident in Brian Baio? Who's confident in who the Tigers are starting to?
I would be more confident in those guys shutting down the Yankee lineup because the Yankee track record shows you that they, and especially in Baio, they cannot touch these guys. That's all I'm saying. So,
yes. But it's different, though, because we don't know what Cody Bellinger is going to look like in the postseason.
I agree about Bellinger.
Right? We don't know what Trent Grisham. Hell, nobody knew what Trent Grisham was going to look like. Looks like that Juan Soto to the Yankees trade with Trent Grisham was the best trade in Major League Baseball history.
Uber clutch.
Both of those guys are clutch right now when both teams need it. But like we don't know what Trent Grisham is going to look like. We have no idea.
I agree.
You know what? We don't know what Paul Goldschmidt's going to be like. We don't know.
I think I know what Aaron Judge is going to be like. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think I know what Austin Wells will probably be like.
But you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? And this is why...
What? I'm bringing up obvious points is what I'm doing.
No, that's exactly what you're doing. And we all do this to a degree. And this is why it's great to check each other. You guys did a wonderful job of checking me when Aaron Rodgers got hurt 2 years ago. And I was like, it's all right. We won a game. We can still be a playoff team. Your emotions, good and bad, by the way, block your vision.
Right.
So sometimes we're so positive about our team, our vision is blocked. And in this case, sometimes we're so negative. What the hell has Vladimir Guerrero Jr. proven in October? You can sit here and cite Aaron Judge's struggles, and I know the Yankees, and they do this, and they do that. What have the Blue Jays proven?
Okay, fair point.
What have the Red Sox proven outside of Alex Bregman?
Fair point.
But that's my point.
What have the Juan Soto-less Yankees proven in this era? Nothing.
No, but that's
as
not.
Well.
But that's not fair to Tiki's point about a guy like Cody Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Bellinger shouldn't fall victim to the errors of the past.
Yeah. So why? Hold on. You're saying that the definitively the best team in the American League, and all I'm saying is, if your arguments are, we don't know what Cody Bellinger, Trent Grisham are, but we also don't know what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are. We have to see.
What I'm
saying.
And
I also think, one more thing.
Yeah.
It's preposterous, and I'm using a big word there, to have this argument off of 1-6-0 win off the Astros where the Yankees have beaten down all the bad teams when we know how they played versus.
You know why that's
fair? Can we discuss this in 11 days and see how they match up again?
That's not fair, and I apologize because we've all taken our vacations, so I forget who was here.
Mm.
But the day after the Yankees beat the Red Sox on Sunday night, and they lost 3 out of 4, I sat here and said, look, I'm going to say something very unpopular, but I really believe it. The New York Yankees are better than the Boston Red Sox.
Right, I disagree with you. I told you they will not beat them in a postseason series.
Okay, so don't tell me I'm saying this off of a victory.
I
have said this to you since April, May, June, July, and even when you lose to good teams, I don't overrate it. I don't judge a season based on that, because let me give you another little stat for you. Despite all the issues the Yankees have had this season, they are not only 2.5 games behind Toronto for the AL East, they're 2.5 games behind Toronto for the number one seed in the American League.
Mm, which is important for the Yankees.
Tiki, Yankees are right there to having the best record in the league, despite everyone tell us for weeks and months they're frauds, they can't be good teams, they're not any good, they should sell guys off.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
But nothing you're saying is wrong. In fact, I would agree with you, but there's a nuance, there's a circumstantial nature to this conversation that matters.
Go ahead.
And we knew it from 2 weeks ago, before I left for Greece. We talked about the Yankees' upcoming schedule. It is the second or third or whatever it was, easiest in all of Major League Baseball. Now, there is a stretch here, and they're going through it right now, that is going to pit them against some quality and tough opponents. They are off to a good start because they beat the Astros in game one of this series. But after this little stretch, it gets easy, right? You said it yesterday.
Yeah.
They should and probably, maybe they won't, but whatever. They could sweep 13 games in a row.
They won't, but they could, yes.
Right. I mean, they probably won't, but you never know, right? So, circumstantially, there is a nuance to why the Yankees can get the number one seed, can win the division, but again, it doesn't make you feel confident that they're the best team in baseball.
You don't have
American
to be
League, at least.
Confident. Confident is an individual belief. I'm just telling you cold, hard facts. I look at the rosters of all these teams. Mm. I'm watching the Tigers right now, and I don't mean to slight them. Like, they are a good team. They're a good team. The Blue Jays are a good team.
Of course.
The Astros are a good team. I think the Yankees are better. And I can back it up with, I think their lineup is better than any of those teams I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I love the top two guys in the rotation. I have to take an L on Rodon. He's a guy who I didn't trust either. And I think a big part of it was the first impression he gave all of us.
Like, it was such a horrible first year, the injuries, the kiss blowing in Anaheim. Carlos Rodon has answered the call.
But you trust him in a playoff series?
I would trust him more than the other twos that we're talking about. And you just mentioned not being able to beat aces. You beat one last night.
Sure.
Okay. Framber Valdez is the Astros game one postseason starter, and you beat him so badly, he tried to kill his catcher. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean with the on-purpose cross-up. Like, the Yankees are more talented. Now, I get the way baseball is. You know, baseball's a tricky game. It's why winning the division is important. You can go into a best-of-three series against the team you're better than and easily lose. I acknowledge that. That's why winning the division is important.
Right.
But I look at these rosters, man, and I'm just being honest. I got no ulterior motive here. I don't have the scars either, and I admit that. I don't have the emotions that clearly Sean has. The Yankees are better. They're better than the Tigers. They're better than the Astros. They're better than the Blue Jays. And they have a realistic chance. In fact, I put my money on it that they're going to end this regular season with a better record than all of them. And 162 is going to prove me right, despite the bumps and the roller coaster rides they put you guys on.
So just remember this and keep it in a capsule. I'll respect your opinion here. But when the team on paper, the paper champion Yankees, are making base running blunders and Volpe's still getting trotted out there, not being able to turn double plays and going down to one knee. And remember that when they are eliminated because of that, that you thought they were a better team. Because that stuff doesn't show up in the stats. That's the problem with the Yankees.
I am not disputing that that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't take it as that. Of course, it's a part of who they are.
Of course. They're flawed.
They're a flawed team. I said that at the beginning.
But almost every team is in some capacity.
I think they have less flaws than the Tigers. I think they have less flaws than the Blue Jays. But those flaws, yes, could they rear its ugly head in a best of five series? Absolutely. Now, as far as Volpe is concerned, I want to be fair to Anthony Volpe. I want to be an umpire here. He made some really good defensive plays last night, did he not?
Evan.
I'm sorry. yes or no?
So, okay.
So, but he's supposed to. I think that's what Sean is thinking. It hasn't said yet.
If they don't get that grand slam last night and they lose the game, we're again going to be talking about how Anthony Volpe couldn't turn a double play down on one knee. It was a horrendous play.
The one that bounced off his stomach in the first inning?
Yes.
That's a tough play.
Evan,
I don't think he's turning a double play on
that. He's a gold glove shortstop.
He's supposed to be a gold glove shortstop that leads shortstops in errors, and they keep running him out there when Caballero plays short. That is going to bite them in the ass. They are not going to get away from that, and they are not going to be rewarded for that. It is going to wreck them. We know it. So let's stop lying, Orton.
I think that Aaron Boone would be wise to play his best players.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good chance that by the time we get to a best of five or best of three series, Jose Caballero is their best option at shortstop. I made the point yesterday on the program, I would have started Caballero over Volpe.
Right.
Now, we ended up seeing what happened. Caballero started, the third got ejected. So it wouldn't have lasted. But that's a day-to-day proposition. Isn't, and there are going to be days I disagree with Aaron Boone on that.
Is that his second ejection this year? Didn't he have one earlier?
Caballero already?
Didn't he argue something at second base and scream at the second base umpire, and then he got ejected? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't remember that one, but maybe you're right.
I don't remember.
Either way, that comes from the manager, because the manager knows how to yell. And he wasn't wrong, because last night's home plate umpire was all over the place. But I look at this team, a flawed team, okay? Not a perfect team. And yes, you worrying that the little things will kill them in a big spot. With all of that said, they're better than Toronto. They're better than Detroit. Let's stop overrating all the teams around us while picking out the pimples of our own team and say, see, we're flawed. Of course they're flawed, but they're still better than them.
Yeah, but the challenge to what you're saying is that when we see these teams go head-to-head with the Yankees, these other teams come out on top. These other teams find ways to win these regular season games. And so as a Yankee fan, the only thing you can do is assume that that's also what's going to happen if and when they get to the
postseason. Here's the problem, though, with that logic is I understand it, and Sean has said it, too. Look what they do against good teams. Okay, let's take a look at the next six games. Houston and Toronto. Forget Detroit. They're a good team, but that really means nothing. If they go out at Yankee Stadium over the weekend and they beat the Toronto Blue Jays 2 out of 3, despite all their struggles against them earlier this season, does that cure all your fears?
No, they got to sweep them.
They win two out of three. It's not good enough.
All the Jays have done is sweep the Yankees nonstop. Yes. The Yankees got to sweep them.
So that one swing game difference is the difference between you believing they can beat them in a best of five and not?
Yeah. So, and
also, it's asinine.
No, it's not asinine. Also, 2.5 is still a big deal. Blue Jays keep winning these games the last couple nights.
They need to do more than just gain one game this weekend.
Well, that's different. That's a mathematical argument, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your confidence in beating good teams. It's a slippery slope when Tiki says, well, they haven't beaten the good teams. Well, what if they do this week? What if they win 2 out of 3 against the Astros and the Blue Jays? Does that cure all of the worries that you guys built up on yourself for the last 3 months?
I gave you a number. I told you it's about the full 12 games. They got to go 8-4. This is their stretch. They're off to a good start. You want to have this conversation, and I will gladly do it. If they go out there and they show, you know what? We have exercised our demons. We are playing the best baseball at the right time, and we are beating the teams all of you said we could not beat. I'm with you. That's when I got to put the shoes and socks on one at a time and go, I may be wrong about this Yankee team, but it's one night versus Houston, and I'm not ready to buy yet.
It's not one night versus Houston. It's the fact that despite all of these issues,
right,
they're 2.5 games back, and they're better than all these teams.
And they just beat their ace. By the way, I was correct about Jose Caballero. August 20th, ejected for arguing a caught stealing at second base. So this guy's a hothead.
Yeah,
I like that.
I do like it.
Who's against that?
Not at all.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We'll do some more football with Ian Eagle and really other stuff as well. Ian, to me, he is the best broadcaster in the business. We were just talking about it a little bit off the air about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ian is the best. And we're getting closer and closer to him officially being the number one team. It's been long enough. I get that you're behind Nance. There's not much you could do there. But and he's also had different pairings here. We got to ask him about this. I mean, he's coming on in a few minutes. But he is so entertaining. He's so entertaining. It makes me want to watch Net games.
He's good. He's phenomenal. And he's just he's a really nice guy too.
I mean, did you ever get to know him?
I don't want to overstate it. I mean, I've interviewed him a bunch. I wouldn't even say a bunch. Right. A couple times, Teak back in the day. I think you and I had him on once or
yes,
so.
Yeah.
Right, we did.
Yeah.
And very friendly guy, down to earth, hasn't let success go to his head, and nuts and bolts wise, he's great. But he's also funny. He's funny on the air. He's terrific.
I love Ian.
Hall of Famer.
Looking forward to talking to him in just a little bit, and looking forward to watching him as he does the game on Sunday for CBS, of course, with his new partner, J.J. Watt, with the Jets. And, yeah, we'll get into the Giants as well, obviously, but a lot of baseball today, BT, that we've discussed starting the show with the Yankees. Let's get back to those calls here, 888-808-1019. Obviously, Mets on the table, too. But Adam in South Jersey, want to talk about the Yanks. What's up, Adam?
What's up, boys? Hope you guys are well today. BT, while you were away and Sal was on, I called Sal and I told him my new policy when Devin Williams comes in the game was to turn the game off. Because I knew no matter what the score was, I felt they were going to drop the game. And last night, I saw Williams come and I said, okay, I'm going to stick around for a little bit. 3 pitches, 3 changeups. I said, nope. I turned the TV off. I checked the results after. Listen, there is just bad juju with Williams on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees are not going to be able to accomplish what they accomplished without the accountability that does not exist. And what the Yankees should do, because they really don't own for next year, they should DFA him to send a message.
Stop.
They should bring up a kid, because I'd rather see a kid fail than
Adam,
this guy still
Adam.
Fail, BT.
Come on.
He's fit. Come on. He's going to ruin it. Listen, you think he's going to come into a game in the postseason and not give it up? Do you really think that?
No, no. What I see, what I think about Devin Williams, and I've said this before, unfortunately in October I see a walk, a bloop, and then a laser double in the gap that hurts the Yankees at a pivotal spot in the game. I don't trust him, but he's got
enough. Then why
enough,
are you leaving him in?
Hold on, but I'm going to tell you. He's got enough track record where you ride it out. Now, I don't think he's really built for New York, so I don't want him here beyond this year, but the DFA him is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
I was going to say, where's his track record with the Yankees? Aren't we supposed to go for this year's result?
I understand that. It's been a couple of months, rather than 7 years, of being one of the best in baseball. I'm not even a fan of his, but
come on. It's been the whole season, Brandon, the whole season. He's had one little blip where he was okay for a couple of weeks, and every time he comes in, there's bad juju.
Hey, Luke,
like
did Luke Weaver make some mistakes last night? What about Duvall? I mean, there's
Absolutely.
Other guys.
But it's not every time with them, BT.
I understand. It's not every time with Devin.
Oh, come on. Look at the ERA overall.
No, no, Adam, it's not, though.
We know that. We know the ERA.
He pitched, not that we're trying to be apologists for Devin Williams.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, well, I've been more pro Devin Williams. Actually, before the season started, I was more cautious about Devin Williams just because I don't think relievers translate necessarily from 1 year to the next. They're so fickle, you have no idea what's going to happen with these guys, especially after what Williams did in the postseason. However, if you watched his struggles early on this year, there was a lot of soft contact. Obviously, he wasn't finding the strikes. so, and you want to blame some of the umps with that. But there was a lot of bad luck that Williams was pitching into early in the year. Not all of it, but there was some bad luck. Then he righted the ship. Mm-hmm. And all right, so now he hasn't been perfect. He's certainly been nowhere near what you thought he was going to be. The furthest thing from what you thought he was going to be. And that is maddening. But it's not like he's the worst thing ever.
No, no, he's not. But I got to tell you, I even thought there may have been one more really good month. I'm looking at his splits right here. So in April, we know April was awful. You just chronicled that. But his ERA was 9. And we knew that. We lived through it. It was rough, right? It's early. And then he showed a little stabilization in May, but his ERA was still over 4. And then in June was when he was great, 0.93. But then July was 5.73, August 4.91, and September 54 in the smallest of samples. So he's had one good month, and he's had one outstanding month, and nothing even close that resembles a good month. He's been awful,
yeah.
But to DFA him is really just, I mean, come on. And I love the passion. You call a lot, and I get it. You're frustrated. There's no way that's happening. 0.0%.
Yeah, nor should it. It's the same thing with Ryan Helsley, by the way. And you can make an argument that, well, they can't pitch Helsley whenever you don't want to pitch him. Like, they're better off trying to salvage him and getting him right. And if he doesn't get the job done, they're going to lose because of it. Same thing with Williams, than just cutting bait and not having him pitch at all. Now, they may get to a spot where you're only going to see Williams in zero leverage situations. Maybe the same thing for Helsley. I don't know, but do the math. It's hard to go that far in the postseason, through the gauntlet of the postseason, without having Devin Williams and or Ryan Helsley from each team's perspective having some kind of impact, positive impact in the playoffs.
I know what Boone said postgame because I watched it, and I know we got to get a break here, so maybe follow up on this after. I didn't love the rationale. Like, you know, obviously Devin Williams, where he came in versus Luke Weaver, I would have liked to have seen that flipped.
Yeah.
It was based on lefties and righties and splits and pitch preferential, driven by numbers, obviously, didn't work out. But I didn't love that. I did not love the way that sequence went.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That umpire was horrendous, and you never hear me complain about that, but that's not necessarily why the Yankees lost. Painful loss. Listen, here's the thing for me though, Sal. It's really been about these 12... It's been about the next 12 games, two of which have already happened here, three with Houston, three with Toronto, obviously the Tigers, and three with the Red Sox. Like, the Yankee fan will not feel good, like completely sold on this team, unless they get 9-3 or 8-4 or even better than that over the next 12 games. But, see, I don't have the same mindset as most Yankee fans pertaining to this team. The Yankees can lose no more games the rest of the way against these very good teams that they'll see in the playoffs here and go 11-1 in totality, and I still don't know what to expect. Because think about this. We've talked about how much the game has changed and the elements of the Yankees that we really believe in and like and the elements that we don't really fully trust. So I get it. Like, last night stunk because it felt like a playoff game. It's the Astros. They're playing better baseball.
Yeah, they were in control.
They had a lead. They flushed it down the chute. I don't like Aaron Boone pulling Will Warren. He had 70 pitches. What are you doing? I did not like that. I would criticize Aaron with that. And there are a lot of things to unpack. We'll certainly do that here. But I just think that big picture, it doesn't matter. Honestly, let me take that. It doesn't matter that I don't mean it doesn't matter that they didn't win. But the Yankees, really like everybody, will be defined what happens in October.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
The issue that I would have is that, like I said, the feel was, hey, Yankees going to take the first two here in Houston. They mean business. Things are different now versus last time versus good teams, whatever it may be. And in my mind, I'm starting to think forward to, oh, here we go, Yankees, Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, like, this is what it's about. The Yankees are going to show us something different here. Now, their loss last night does not take away the fact that they still could be the best team in the American League. They still could get to a World Series. Their offense is still elite. So there are still a lot of pieces in place. However, it was a harsh reminder that when a lot of us started to let our mind go to, holy cow, you start to get excited about the Yankees and thinking this could be different. This could be, maybe they're better than I thought they were going to be. Look at this. We're going to take the first two from the Astros. Just when you really, truly started to believe. Because even after the first win, there was still maybe some doubt. You really started to believe. And then that happens last night and they completely fall apart. And it was a litany of things. Whether it's Stanton in left field, he can't be out there. Like those things. They try to minimize that. They all add up. A pass ball leading to a run.
Because you got to. Wells has to keep that in front of him.
Yeah,
has to.
Like, and he doesn't because.
The balk. Which balk I don't think that was a balk.
No.
I really don't.
Now, I will say this, too. And you and I are consistent about this. I don't make excuses with
Never.
The umpire. He clearly had an issue with the Yankees.
Yes, he did.
Like,
yes, he did.
It was over the top. He screwed Devin Williams. Williams has been bad this year. We know that. He's also had some bad luck. Last night, he got screwed. Now, I thought that Boone should have got him out of the game earlier. He rode with Williams, and then you thought maybe there was a point where he was going to get out of it. The ump didn't do him any favors, but I would have pulled Williams sooner if I were on Boone, so that was an issue. But the ump was horrible last night. Point is, there are a lot of things to break down from last night. Big picture, still shouldn't be alarming concerns with the Yankees because we know what they are. But just when you thought maybe it's going to be different, a lot of those issues reared their ugly head.
They did, and that's why the Yankees are an imperfect team like everybody else in baseball. I still feel good about the Yankees. I haven't felt great about the Yankees all year. Maybe at the beginning of the year I felt better than I did at various points, but I don't think anybody heard me say once this year that I think the Yanks are going to win the World Series. Hell, I was talking in March. I wasn't even sure the Yanks were going to win the division.
Right.
I've said that a million times here. So
it still might not. I mean, I know.
I mean, they might. They might not. They're going to be in the playoffs. And obviously, if Judge hits and Stanton, and you get the horses up front with Fried and Schlittler, you know, and the bullpen does its job, the Yankees could very well win a couple of playoff series and maybe get back to the World Series. But, you know, the umpiring, this is a problem here. The umpires, they think that they are the story. Nobody comes to see you. Just honestly, just be invisible. Do your job. And the way, now I don't mean that they should just sit there and take it if Aaron Boone or anybody is dropping F-bombs in their face, spitting on them.
Boone got out of control and so did Jazz. But
I didn't think Jazz was out of control. First of all, Jazz was right. Yeah. That ball's absolutely off the plate.
I'm not saying they're wrong. I thought they both were out of control.
I don't think so. Now, Boone went from 0 to 90 quick in terms of what we saw verbally, but there were the incremental buildup on all of the calls that this dope behind home plate missed. It just set him off here. So, again, you'd rather not get tossed for the seventh time, but I'd rather go down swinging. So I have no issue with that. I thought that Boone, you know, he was pissed.
As
man,
I'm
you
saying,
could tell
dude,
he was angry. And he had a right to be, is what I'm saying. That umpire was awful.
I want to be clear. They were in the right. Jazz, Aaron Boone, Williams were in the right. I do think Boone went a little over the top out of control, and that sets a bad example for Jazz, who then he feels like he could get out of control. We've seen this a couple of times, and I thought it was just over the top. They were both right, understood. Mm-hmm. I thought the ump was screwing the Yankees. Like, my initial thought was, and I know a lot of people, you know, the conspiracy theorists, oh, this guy's on the take. Like,
this guy's on the take?
That, I swear that's what I'm thinking.
Well,
like,
there were pictures going around this morning or last night with him and his buddy. They're wearing Red Sox shirts.
Well,
the guy's a Red Sox fan.
I don't think that
100% that factored in last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
I'm with you. I believe that his Red Sox fandom, as tempered as it may be now, as he's got
a professional.
If you have a call that you think is borderline.
Of course. It's an inherent bias. It's like me. 100%. It's like having a picture with me and my buddy tailgating for the Jets-Patriots, and then I'm an official.
Right.
I'm the Lions judge, and the Jets are playing the Patriots.
Right. You're on what do you think I'm going to do? Patriots and all
it still wouldn't matter. Jets would still lose.
I still think they were a little bit over the top, out of control. However, I think it was justified. Yanks got screwed. It's not why they lost the game.
Yep.
Certainly didn't help.
Okay, now here's the thing, too. Like, just to finish the thought about the umpires and this complexion that they have, not even the guy from last night who was awful. We all know that, right? And we could agree to disagree. Boone too much, Jazz, whatever. Yeah. The umps missed the calls, and I have no problem firing back, right. But I hear what you're saying. It's the problem with today's umpires, and you see this and officials in the NBA as well, they have been, like, for whatever reason, maybe because they know they're going to be on TV and they're going to get a million clicks on social media, so they don't want to look like they're getting punked and they're allowing people to push them around. But these guys come out way too aggressive and way too almost like proactively searching for conflict. And they said it last night when I could actually hear the game on Amazon. And I know Marash was dealing with this. I'm saying to myself, what the hell's wrong with the Wi-Fi in my house? I have no issues with the Wi-Fi. I can't wait to watch this game. You know, Stanton hits a moonshot. Wells goes two-run bomb the other way. Will Warren was pitching very well. And all night, it's cutting out. I felt like I was trying to email somebody from 1999 on AOL. It was just horrendous. So the coverage and the ability to watch the game really frustrated me, really. But when you see these umpires, Sal, you could just tell, like, they rip off their mask and they're looking. Dude, just get behind the catcher. Just let the manager chirp a little bit. If it gets out of hand, give them the thumb. But these guys look for problems, and it's a problem.
Which I would think they wouldn't, because they're going to be embarrassed. Most of the time, they're in the wrong. When we could see everything, and players and umps, players and managers can also see the replay stuff, whatever it may be, you see the square, or they're being told, like, that pitch was in the zone, what are you doing? The umps eventually are made to look like fools. Like, that guy last night, he's got to be mortified.
He's
got to be going to bed
stunk.
Sick to him. Yeah, like, his job should be in jeopardy. That's how bad he was.
How many blown calls he had? Because I actually had the number for you.
What was it, like 21?
21.
And 15 were against the Yanks?
There were 21 calls that were deemed by whomever does this, right? That they were the incorrect call. 15, you're right, of the 21 went against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine if that's a playoff game last night.
And then they're going to be...
imagine that?
And like you said, pictures floating around with him and the Red Sox. Yeah. Like, I think he's going to be some kind of... These guys do get reprimanded, right? When they're not...
Well, they get graded every single night. And then obviously it impacts and affects what postseason responsibilities you have. Like, if you're lowly graded, if you will, you're not going out there for the league championship series. So this guy hopefully is relegated to, you know, the White Sox and the Twins the rest here of September, not the Yankees and the Jays or whatever.
And the issue with him last night, like, all umpires are going to have certain issues. Like, nobody's perfect, especially nowadays where we can see all the replays. We see the strike zone box. So it's magnified now how bad that they are, how many times that they miss. The problem with last night's guy is he was inconsistent. He can't call the game one way for 6-7 innings and then all of a sudden change it up. Like, that's absurd. That's why I'd have a big issue if I were Boone Williams or even Jazz Chisholm on that last at-bat there. So that, to me, would be like, hey, dude, why'd you change? You were calling the pitch a strike the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you change? That's what they were talking about on the broadcast.
That's an outstanding point. And I was I heard part of that when my TV wasn't flickering. And you're right. And it's the same thing in the NBA. If you're going to let them get after it and, you know, set hard screens and foul and swallow the whistle, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a little ticky-tack fouls here and there, you're like, what are you doing? Like, this is not the tone that was established here. So everybody, listen, they're not robots yet. We'll soon have the automation. So they're human beings, and there is an inherent flaw because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes here. But it's unacceptable to establish, you know, one strike zone in the middle of early for the first 70% of the game and then just blatantly, radically flip it, because now you confuse players and that's the last thing you can have.
All right, so before we get to the phones, what would be your... Because there's a lot there, obviously, from last night's game. What would be your one concern that you saw last night?
Yeah, I already have it.
Long term.
Devin Williams. Devin Williams, the first at-bat, annoyed the hell out of me. Change up, change up, change up. Fourth pitch... I mean, do you think Correa is saying he's going to probably throw me a fastball at some point? Which he does, which Correa lasers to right field, sets the entire tone. And I understand there were a lot of pitches, especially up in the zone and in to lefties, that were strikes that were not called strikes. But there's just something about him that spooks me. He doesn't elicit any sort of confidence in me. Listen, I didn't love it. Hoffman was a changeup guy, and I know his changeup's better than Hoffman's, but if your primary pitch is a changeup in October, that always worries me, because if you're getting squeezed a little bit, or, you know, the umpire's not good, or you don't have the feel for the changeup, even though it is, you know, he throws 95, it's flat, and it's not effective, it's not real gas. So if his changeup's not on, Devin Williams is going to get rocked. And the other thing that Devin Williams has yet to really prove to us, which, and the onus is on him, not us, it's on him, he has not proven, at least to me, that when things go awry, In a big spot, he is able to buckle down and get the big outs. He worries me more than Judge hitting in October, the Yankees starters, even Volpe at shortstops, certain elements of the Yankees defense. It's Devin Williams.
Yeah, see, for me, there are two issues, the bullpen or the defense. Now, I'm not going to focus on Williams. What about Luke Weaver? What about Doval? Like, there
well, I don't trust Doval. To me, he's not going to be in there in a fourth, you okay, know, but, like a 5-4 game.
But you could, also remove Williams from that situation.
Yeah,
also, like, to me, that's not the biggest issue. And I could be wrong here. I just can't deal with the sloppiness. Now, there is a counter to it. Well, Stanton's not going to be in left field in the postseason. But they do have to get Judge back healthy. Like, he still hasn't come back yet. We thought he was going to come back weeks ago. He's come back in St. Louis, come back in the Red Sox. Still not back yet. Now, once he comes back, then you should be able to have an outfield with Bellinger, Grisham, Judge. You would think that that should eliminate some of the problems. I'm not so sure about Volpe. I'm not so sure about Jazz in a big spot. And certainly not catching. Like, that is a major issue that just gets overlooked. Wells misplayed that ball, but he's being taught to catch the way he is. Ben Rice, same thing. In a big spot in the postseason, the Yankees' little things, they add up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's enough margin for error. So those would be my two concerns. My primary concern, you know, the bullpen overall and the sloppiness that the Yankees play with consistently. And I think that would be the number one issue for me come playoff time.
I can point out what worries me. You just did the same thing here. I think the bottom line is that there are debatable points, and there are multiple things. Even though the Yankees have a tough, like, let's not bury the lead completely. Yanks have been playing very well.
Yeah.
But these are the times of measurement. The Astros, Toronto, the Tigers, the Red Sox, teams the Yankees have not played well against. They've beaten up bad teams, and they thumped them big. So they put themselves in a position to be a playoff team, which they will be. But there are several things that people can latch onto and say, this worries me. And when you have more than one of those things, it's fair to wonder, you know, can this team win a World Series, which is what I've asked all year. And every time I ask the question, my answer is no. That's what I've always said. Hopefully I'm wrong. October magic, you never know. But they got some flaws. We know it.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal. Morning, gents.
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I have so much you guys covered there. That is, I mean, it's like you were in my brain. That's exactly what I was thinking. I don't think I've been more frustrated watching a baseball game than I was watching that Yankees game last night. And I try very hard not to get necessarily emotional, but last night I wanted to break my television. It was so frustrating for a million different reasons. But and probably the biggest was the ump, which I never necessarily want to hang my hat on the fact that the ump was absolutely horrendous. I mean, I never want to feel that way, but last night it was a joke. And Sal, you hit it. The inconsistency is the problem. I mean, it was completely different the first six innings from the last three. It was absolutely a joke. But, you know, for me, overall with these Yankees, the biggest concern I have is the bullpen. I mean, it is Devin Williams. Like, I thought we had potentially ironed that out and putting him in places that were not high leverage. Last night, he could not throw anything other than a changeup. And you know, like, I know it's sitting on my couch that if he's throwing 3-4 changeups in a row, he doesn't have it. So of course the other guys know that. And of course they're going to hit lasers. As soon as he throws that fastball, it's over. And then you've got to go to Duvall. And then the problem with Duvall is that he can't throw straight. And then the balk call was absolutely a joke. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we walked in a run and then we give up another run on a balk. I mean, it was the most quirky game. And then I agree with you, BT, the experience in and of itself, like whatever it is with their streaming service, is also a joke. So like all of those things were just
night,
like, it was a rough night, man. Yeah. It really, really was.
Yeah.
And I think if we could sort out that bullpen, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, Devin Williams and Duvall are a problem. And I don't know what those middle inning relievers are going to be for us.
Even Weaver, Eric, and thank you for the call. I'm not saying Weaver's a problem. He's not lights out the way that he was at his peak last year. And maybe a little bit of the bloom fell off the rose in the postseason when he got hit hard a little bit. I'm not this year he has been hit hard.
He's not Mo. Let's put it that way. I mean, understood. The guy's fallible, and you got to worry a little bit with Luke Weaver and hope that he's on.
Right, but if he's not on, then they're in big trouble because if you can't count on Duvall,
I know,
and you can't count on Williams, you can't have just one guy with Bednar, and even he's not Mo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So they're not even Diaz, honestly. Like, even with Diaz, who's had his own faults, at least this year. Now, again, in a big spot, who knows? All it takes is one blown save, and it could derail the entire season, like it did with Williams a year ago with Milwaukee. But the Yankees, they do have a bullpen problem right now.
They do. I'm going to say this, though, and which the first 17, 18 minutes has been littered and laced with complaints and anger and a lot of things. Last night was rough. Honestly, I agree with Eric. Like, I don't really get that worked up over a regular season baseball game, but I'm with you guys. I was pissed, man, for all the reasons I said, including the inability to watch the game without interruptions. But here's the one thing that, you know, I don't know if you have complete confidence, but you've got to have some. Would it surprise anybody if the Yankees come back and look good today and take two out of three?
No, I think they're,
you know what I mean?
Their offense has been terrific. I mean, that's the thing. And then the other question, and maybe this is the biggest question of all, is the offense going to be able to do what they do in the regular season and the postseason? That's been the question with the Yankees forever. So, yeah, nobody's going to be surprised if they win tonight or beat the Blue Jays. I told you. I mean, even when they were at their worst, I still believe the Yankees are going to win the division. It's not surprising to me when they have success. It's also not, like, I think we know what the Yankees are. They are a team that can bludgeon you to death with their bats, a bully team that does very well against bad teams and can have success against good teams, but also is a team that is sloppy and inconsistent at times. They don't have a great bullpen. The starting pitching can be inconsistent at times, and the defense
could also be dominant, though. Yeah. I mean, sometimes starting pitching can be really good.
But that's inconsistent.
The two guys might win 20 games. Yeah. I mean, between Freeman and Rodon.
You were more worried about Max Fried than I was.
Well, because
Rodon, take him out. He is the epitome of inconsistency.
I'm not saying to give him the ball to Rodon game one, right. But I mean, Rodon is a guy who's going to give you quality innings. Dude, his numbers are actually filthy. I don't trust him. I've always said that. You know, it's about like a playoff spot, but I'm not even worried about the starting staff. Right. I mean, I needed to see Max Fried get back and stabilize things. Right. He had three great starts. Yeah. He was getting rocked for a while, so I was just reacting to what he was showing me. It wasn't like a lack of trust. It was, what do you do? Why have these last 15 starts stunk after you looked like, you know, Ron Guidry for the first month or so? Point is, I think the Yankees starters will be really good. I do, because Schlittler's going to start a playoff game. It's the bullpen, and depending upon how they configure the defense, it's still a little shaky.
And I think we're going to learn more about the Yankees, not tonight against the Astros. I think it's going to be against the Blue Jays once and for all. They've struggled against the Blue Jays. They've struggled against the AL East and the Red Sox, too. That's going to be the... Yeah. All right, what are we made of here? What are we looking at with this Yankee team? Because I think they're better than the Blue Jays.
You've said that for a while, but I haven't agreed. I can see them actually finishing better and maybe ultimately being better, but I haven't come to that. I haven't come to that conclusion yet.
And
I haven't.
If they get beat by the Blue Jays and Red Sox again, that to me would hurt my confidence going into the postseason, regardless of where they finish the regular season.
I want to make clear, it's not important. Because they're playing the Houston Astros. The fact they're playing the Houston Astros to me is irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. The fact that they're going to play the Detroit Tigers next week, irrelevant, doesn't mean anything. Obviously, the head-to-head with Boston and Toronto, incredibly important when it comes to making up ground on Toronto. They're obviously in a battle with the Boston Red Sox. So this stretch of games, which is being defined as, ooh, let's see if the Yankees can beat a good team.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Here's what matters. Very simple to me. Can they win three more games than the Toronto Blue Jays do over the course of the rest of this season and win the American League East?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Like, proving yourself against good teams, which I know is this huge deal that Yankee fans have made such a big thing about. Sean went nuts when they lost to the Red Sox. They can't beat good teams. They're not going to be able to beat anybody. Just like when the Knicks fans freaked out that they couldn't beat the Celtics. Right. It doesn't mean anything.
Of course, because ultimately when it mattered in the postseason, you beat them.
Exactly.
And that's likely what's going to have to be the occasion for the Yankees this year.
And I don't believe they can't.
Of course not. I mean, why would you think that they can't? Because they haven't. And then last year they went to the World Series. Now, they had a smooth or grooved path to get there because of the teams that they had to play in the divisional round and in the ALCS. But still, it's the postseason. Anything can happen for this Yankees team, even though it's discouraging to think that they have the ability to do it.
I understand that when you play the Astros, it is personal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to beat them.
Yeah, but does it matter?
It doesn't, no. Honestly, I look at this schedule, and here's my thought process. It's all about the American League East. Mm-hmm. They are alive in this division because the Toronto Blue Jays, and I have said this over and over again, you were away last week. I was away for a few days, too. Don't get me wrong. But I was talking to Sean, and I'm like, bro, the Blue Jays have been kind of mediocre all year. They had one hot streak. Let's pipe down about them. And if you look at their last 53 games, they're under 500. Right. They're 26-27. I have no reason to believe that's going to change. Did you see what happened to them last night?
Yeah, blowing the game.
Right.
The New York Yankees can win this division.
Of course. The Blue Jays, call it for what it is, got hot when the Yankees went cold.
That's right, and that's why they picked up so much
ground.
That's
why they picked up and ran away for a little bit, and now it's coming back to the mean. Both teams' means, I think. But they got hot at the right time. Kind of sometimes that's what baseball is all about, especially with so many games. If you go on an extended streak and everybody else kind of falters, you pull away.
And that's why I want to lay this out in a very nice, neat, and tidy way for the Yankee fan to understand. Mm. Let's say, hypothetically, over these 12 games, you struggle. You don't play well. It continues. Same crap. Different address. You don't beat the Astros. Let's say you get swept by them this week. It's really bad. Like, defense keeps bad. All that whole thing. You go to Toronto, you lose 2 out of 3. Right? You struggle against Boston. Let's say in these next 12 games, you go 4-8. Not good. Right? Yankee fans are going to panic. And then what if you win your final 13 against the White Sox, Orioles, and Twins? Am I joking? That's on the table. I mean, you guys annihilate bad teams, which is great, and you struggle against good teams. So if my math is correct, that would leave you with 16 wins and 8 losses in your last 24 games.
Yeah, might win the division.
And you win the American League East.
Yeah. Okay.
You good with that?
Well, good with it from the standpoint of, all right, yeah, they won the division. Right. I'm not good from it from the standpoint of the moment the playoffs, so I'm not going to believe this team's doing anything.
Now let me ask you another question. Let's say you do well against these teams. Let's say you go 9-3 in the next 12. But you trip up finally against the Orioles, White Sox, and Twins.
I'd rather that.
Oh, come on.
I'd rather that because at least
you want the belief that you can beat good teams.
Dude, they're going to the playoffs no matter what.
You guys are crazy. I mean, not you guys. You are crazy.
Don't you think in their head it would be good to beat these teams in the playoffs?
No. I don't think it means a damn thing.
I think you're dead wrong. I think the Yankees basically go down their pants when they see some of these teams, and it's time to start proving that that's not going to happen.
So you would rather not win the division, but prove yourself in these 12 games.
They're going to the playoffs anyway, yes. Yep.
But there's a big difference between winning the division and not.
But don't you think that this is more individuals as opposed to teams? So it's like, so why couldn't they beat the Astros? Because those guys on those Astros teams back then, they just were in their head.
Yeah,
they felt like they couldn't best them. But this is the Astros as a team. They are markedly different.
I don't think it's about the Astros, though, because they struggled against Toronto. They've struggled against Boston. To the Yankee fan, it's about any good team. Like, their record against
other... I'm not talking about the fan. I'm talking about the player.
Well, I don't think the player thing exists.
I do. I think there's mental stuff.
No,
I think the moment
not.
You get in the game and these little things happen, and I think that's why it's more important. We can talk about the wins and losses and while the wins are important. More than anything else over the next 12 games, the Yankees cannot look like a fundamentally flawed baseball team where an avalanche is happening, where they're basically one mistake happens, then another mistake, somebody's getting caught off base, there's another error here.
Then it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy when it happens in the postseason. It's like, of course they bungled something because they showed us all year long that they're going to bungle something. Now, if the player starts to think, look, I know this from like my fumbling issues. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I'm like, I hope I don't fumble. I hope I don't. It's the wrong thought. You know what I mean? It's just like, who is the Knobloch? Chuck Knobloch.
Oh, jeez.
At second base. Like, just make a good throw.
Steve Sachs.
Just make a good throw. Like, you start thinking the negative.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's no way for the positive to happen. At all, because if you're not thinking positive, there's no way that you're gonna be able to be consistently positive. And so sometimes I think it's an internal mental game for athletes, and not necessarily, oh, it's this team or it's this individual. It's more like it's you. It's all on the individual.
Yeah,
and maybe that's what the Yankees haven't spent enough time in personal development with each of these guys is. Okay, Anthony Volpe, we know you're a good shortstop. Why can't you throw the ball to first base? You know what I mean?
Why are you going down to one knee every time you feel the ground ball now?
Right. It's psychological.
But that doesn't happen just against good teams.
And like that happens consistently. But when you do it against a bad team, you can get away with it.
No, absolutely.
When you do it against a good team, they're going to stack them up. They're stack runs on top of
I think that's exactly what happens. You can't make the same amount of mistakes against good teams. Here's my point to you, to everybody else out there. There are 24 games left in this season. Win the American League East. simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And it's right in front of them. Damn it, I didn't mean to quote Boone. It's right there for them. They are essentially three games behind Toronto. The reason I say three is because they will lose the tiebreaker against the Jays, so they have to finish ahead of them.
Right.
So they need to finish with a better record than the Toronto Blue Jays.
They are, however, they have the tiebreaker on the Rangers, who are coming.
Yeah, but that's for wild card stuff.
Right.
And I'm not worried about that, but yes, you are correct. They, I mean, in fact,
like 3.5 games out of it.
I'm not worried about that. I don't. It's more than that. I think it's five games back. It's actually six in the loss column, so they're well ahead of Texas.
Right.
In fact, they have the tiebreaker on every wild card team that's bidding at them. Seattle, Yankee tiebreaker. Texas, Yankee tiebreaker. Cleveland, Yankee tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City, Yankee tiebreaker.
Texas is 1.5 behind Mariners, but 5 behind the Yankees.
Correct. Right. So I'm not even worried about that. But they need to make up 3 games on the Blue Jays, plain and simple. And if you win the division, it is likely you're getting a first-round bye.
Well,
and you have home field advantage in that divisional series. That matters. That's really important. And that's all that matters.
That's also why they need to beat the Astros.
No, beating good teams, well, that's more of a math equation. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that specifically. It's more the idea that beating good teams is more important than just winning the division is lunacy to me. It's just lunacy. And then I go back to this. You got 12 games against good teams. What's good enough? Like, if they went 6-6, would you say, all right, we could play good teams?
8-4.
What if it's 7-5? That means they can't win a division series against any one of these overrated bums?
8-4 means you've basically won every series, or you at least swept one while you won. To me, that's a big deal. Yeah.
A big deal for what?
Right. For anybody to believe in this team. Dude, I'm telling you right now, they go 6-6, and they're
right, kicking
the
ball. Right, from a fan standpoint. Right? That's what you're talking about.
Yes, I'm talking about...
Win series.
The fans do not believe in a team that is on the cusp of making the playoffs because in these series, they've given us no reason to believe. If you want this city and this team and this fan base to rally around the team, I'm sorry. 6-6 ain't cutting it over
I think you guys are wrong.
That's fine.
I think that if you win the American League East, no matter how you get there... And I know I painted a very extreme example. I get that it would be unrealistic to go 4-8 in these 12 and then, 13-0 in the next grouping of games.
I mean, you could.
But you could. I mean, the Yankees slaughter bad teams. Up until yesterday or Sunday when they lost to the White Sox, they were about to just run the table on bad teams. They made the Nationals look like a minor league team.
That's because Boone gave them an off day on Monday, even though it's Labor Day. And they were like, oh, can we go today?
Oh, yeah. So you're blaming Boone for the Sunday loss?
No, but I know people probably were blaming Boone for the Sunday
loss. It's
baseball. You lose to bad teams.
Of course, it is about the division. The division matters in this regard. Skipping the wild card series is huge. You could tell me all you want about the history of the last few years, more so in the NL than the AL, about, well, wild card teams get hot and they go on a run. BS. You don't want to play... what's that game? It's kind of controversial with the gun. Russian roulette.
Yeah, Russian roulette.
Very violent example. I apologize. But you don't want to play Russian roulette with your baseball season. And that's what a best of three series does. If you win the division, it is likely you'll get a top two seed and skip the Russian roulette. And now you're in the division series hosting a best of five.
Right.
I'd feel pretty damn good about myself if I'm a Yankee fan.
You spent all summer when I argued the point about winning the division telling me, it doesn't matter, just get in. That's all you got to do is just get in. Now we've upped the ante to you don't want to be, just get in.
Here's why, Sean. When you can't win the division or you're not going to win the division, like the Mets, the NL East is over. I know it. We'll hear from Sal in a few minutes. I'm pretty sure he knows it. We all know the Mets are not winning this division. It doesn't mean their season is over. My point is, yeah, it sucks. I'd rather have won the division, but the good news is they get a new life. If I have a chance to win the division, there is a bonus to doing it. Because you, especially if you finish with a top two record, get to skip around.
Right.
So I've never said I don't want it. I've said even if you don't get it, that isn't a death sentence. Does that not make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense, which is why I'd rather play well versus these teams and go in with a good mentality that we could beat whoever we won the AL.
Sean's taking a lot of L's today, Teague.
Mm-hmm.
Is he worse than Devin Williams, or is Devin Williams worse than Ryan Helsley?
No, worse.
He's worse?
He's worse. Devin Williams will give you some good innings at times.
At least you stumble on the occasional good Devin Williams thing.
Well, Devin Williams has had a longer New York career than Ryan Helsley. Helsley just got here a couple weeks ago. Williams has had an entire season. So, of course, he's had more chances. Those chances,
valid point.
Honestly, let's be real. We could go through all the Yankees' issues. The biggest reason they aren't the best team in the American League, like Evan says they are, is because of Devin Williams. He's cost them, 10 games this year? Maybe
15? Think Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%.
Oh, I know what we have to do, Teague.
Yeah.
I think it's time for an impromptu.
We haven't had one in a while.
Lou Gehrig debate series.
Okay. Who do we want to win more, Eagles or Cowboys? Is that what we're doing?
No. Who sucks more, Devin Williams or Ryan Helsley? I thought it was open and shut, but Tommy brings up some valid points. So, by the way, I have to correct you, Tiki. While you were gone, we actually did have a Lou Gehrig debate series. So the score is now tied 8-8. Okay? It is 8-8. Tiki's bringing out the scoreboard we have that's being held by Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims. And so it is now 8-8 in the Lou Gehrig debate series. And the possession arrow is now in favor of Sean Morash. What do you mean I'm wrong? Don't tell me I'm wrong. Oh, you're right. Tommy didn't win. I take that back. It's 9-7, Sean.
Nice.
I forgot. It got overturned. So,
Whoa. It got overturned. I thought I won.
No, you lost. We ended up going to a tiebreaker phone call who voted for Sean, and you lost.
Okay, that's fair. I do remember it being a tie. I thought I won the tiebreaker.
You want to know what the debate was about, Tiki?
Tell me.
It was Tommy DeVito's performance against the Packers one of the five greatest moments in the history of the New York Giants?
History?
Yeah. It became a Lou Gehrig debate series.
History!
One of our proudest moments.
It's easily the most memorable regular season win they've ever had in their franchise's history. No offense, Teague. I know the game in Washington, but that, to me, yeah, think about it. At the time, Tommy DeVito mania, we forget how we felt at that moment.
You know what argument he used, Teague, that almost swayed me, even though it's a lunacy statement?
Go ahead.
When I brought you up and said you're being very disrespectful to Teague, Tommy's like, Teague doesn't remember most of his games anyway.
95% of career, he's forgotten already.
No, you're right. Except for the Washington.
Correct.
Then Redskins game.
That's right. So, officially, the Lou Gehrig debate series sits at 9-7 Morash. Sean has the possession arrow. The rules.
It's the Lou Gehrig debate series where the minds are dazed.
The rules of the Lou Gehrig debate series is that Sean will get a minute to state his case that Devin Williams sucks less than Ryan Helsley. Lugie can respond and they can yell at each other and we will vote on the results. So, your 1 minute on the clock on why you believe Ryan Helsley sucks more than Devin Williams begins now.
Well, first of all, let's talk about Devin Williams, Tommy. At least when the Yankees traded for him, as pumped up as we knew we had Luke Weaver and we weren't counting on him to be a big savior. We were interested in what he had. Ultimately, Devin Williams has appeared in 58 games this year, and he's given up 33 earned runs. Not good, but it at least tells us, at a minimum, there's been 25 games that Devin Williams has pitched in without allowing a single freaking run. That's a minimum. That's math. Ryan Helsley's appeared in 14 games, already given up 14 earned runs. He gives up a run a game easily on an average. And probably the worst thing at all, at least Devin Williams, when he sucks, can hide out a little bit. We don't have the theatrics, the lights going off. The Yankees faded that away. You're still ringing hell's bells every time the guy comes in. You talk about pissing off a fan base. Nobody pisses off their fan base in town more than Ryan Helsley. He's not a savior, and you need him more as an eighth-inning guy, because what's your answer? Ryan Stan stinks? It's done.
All right, your clock is done, Tommy. The floor.
That was solid.
That was very good stuff. You stats. He was fired up. Tommy, your rebuttal begins now.
Talking about pissing off a fan base, the sight of Devin Williams will send Yankee fans into a tizzy. He has had a longer runway here to fail, and he has failed every single time. We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. He has dirt on Brian Cashman. They keep putting him out there. And best of all, this is the absolute best of all, the Yankees broke tradition for Devin Williams. They got rid of the beard policy for this guy, and he's absolutely sucked. And he will go down as one of the worst acquisitions in the history of the Yankees. Helsley, for all we know, can wake up tomorrow and become a great closer again. Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished. He has had no Yankee career. He will never have a Yankee career. He should have been DFA'd months ago. And now you have to live with this beard policy, and you broke tradition. They'll probably put names on the back of the jersey next year.
All right.
Thank you.
Tommy, you got a minute to fight.
Okay,
this is easy. Tommy just walked into why Devin Williams is the better player than Ryan Helsley in pitcher. Because at least when this terrible dumpster fire Devin Williams season ends, he will have a positive footprint on Yankee baseball.
How's it positive? How's it been
we
positive?
Got rid of the old, yeah, you're the still stupid, antiquated beard policy.
Well, what has it done? And the same stupid team that is clueless and has a country club. So it did nothing but piss off 50-year-old Yankee fans.
What's the positive influence Ryan Helsley had? That he still sucks versus the Atlanta Braves?
But Ryan Helsley's a fart in the wing. You're never going to remember him.
Devin
Williams will always be linked to the beard. Helsley. We don't need Helsley. Okay. The point is that the beard policy was gotten rid of. We all know it's because of Juan Soto. But we're going to say it was because of Devin Williams. You will now forever be remembered as the guy that got rid of the beard policy, and you sucked on top of it.
So your big defense is the beard policy. Good debate, Tommy.
Beard policy.
I'm good here, Ev. I'm good here.
Okay, so let's go here. Give me 20 more seconds.
Yeah, he's resting his case. You can continue.
And by the way, I was kind of on Sean's side with this. If John Mara lost his mind one day or lost a lot of sleep because of Saquon Barkley.
Mr. Mara.
Okay, I know a lot of the Maras are listening. I apologize. Mr. Mara, if he actually unretired Lawrence Taylor's number and gave it to Abdul Carter and he sucked, what would Sean Marash and the Marashes bring up every time? And they unretired LT's number for this guy. Devin Williams, every time he's brought up from now till the end of time, will be linked to the beard policy. Whether you like it or not, and you like it, whatever. He will be linked to it. Helsley will go by as a footnote. Billy Taylor. I thought that was the guy from Little Big League. Everybody keeps bringing this guy up. Billy Taylor. Nobody remembers Billy Taylor except for him and Sal and three other people.
Sal and I were having a discussion about Billy Taylor during the show handoff.
Yes, they were.
Tiki was like, wow, that guy existed.
I was like, did he play football?
Well, good job, fellas. Tiki, your thoughts on that debate?
That was an easy one for me. Lukey won that one, hands down.
He won that one?
Yeah, because of the beard policy won. But also, let's not forget, Ryan Helsley was brought in to be, I don't know, insurance maybe, if Edwin Diaz decides to opt out, a seventh-inning guy, eighth-inning guy. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's a rental. He's done.
Mm.
Done. Devin Williams was brought here to be the closer of the future.
Mm.
He is not. Not even a thought right now.
Yeah.
Tommy won to me.
Wow. It's a very good point that Tommy makes. Two things. Number one, whether you like or hate the beard policy, because I think most younger fans, most people listening are like, it's great. You know, it's fantastic they got rid of it.
People look dope in beards nowadays.
Yeah.
My twin won't cut his off.
Yeah, it's because he wants to look different than you.
Yeah, he does not want to look like me.
If I bring up Devin Williams' name in 20 years, there's a really good chance every Yankee fan's going to be like, oh, Devin Williams.
Yeah.
If I bring up Ryan Helsley's name in 20 years, I think it's going to be similar to Billy Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the diehards remember.
When did he play?
Yeah.
What year was that?
Yeah.
What happened with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just bad.
Yeah, I think he's like a guy we make fun of, and you heard that great clip of Frank the Tank describing Helsley very accurately, but I think there's a really good chance because he was a rental. And it was quick. Like, he came in, he's been terrible, and it's like, it's over for
Ryan
him.
Ryan Helsley fucking sucks.
Like, Ryan Helsley's just going to go away with the win. I do think he brings up a good point that Devin Williams, even though clearly pound for pound he hasn't been as bad as Helsley, is probably going to live in the Yankee stench for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Was that the debate, though?
I don't know, but he made me think about it once he said it.
Doesn't it make his stinking even more stinkier?
Well, the debate was who was worse.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, and so worse is, it's fungible.
It is, because it could be based on expectations. Yeah. You say Lugie won the debate. In fairness, I think Sean won the debate.
Mm.
So I think you made a great effort, Tommy. I obviously disagree with you fundamentally, but you did a really good job. So now we got to break the tie with a caller. All right, you guys are going to accept whoever we go to.
Absolutely.
They don't have any agenda.
Here's the way I look at it. I'm like the Blue Jays. I have a lead I'm not going to give up, so that's fine.
All right. It's not like you have a huge lead. You have a two-game lead.
Neither do they.
Dude.
And we don't have a tiebreaker here like the Blue Jays have, unless we want to come up with one, if there is a tie.
Well, the tiebreaker overall.
Meaning if me and Sean ultimately get, you know, tie these things up.
I don't think that there can be. I don't think there's an end.
Yeah, I think the end is when we're, like, not all working together, which these days could be next week.
Better come up with a tiebreaker, then.
We may have to come up with a tiebreaker. All right. Chris in Bayshore, who won the Lou Gehrig debate series?
Well, I really, you know, I feel honored to be honest with you guys. There is no question in my mind that Lugie took it, hands down.
Wow. Nice.
Generational talent.
Why do you think so, Chris? Please tell us.
Well, I think the beard thing, and I think his just he made more impactful points in my opinion.
Chris, you're from my town.
I understand that, Sean, and you know, again, it's a lot of love. I got to say with a lot of love, but I got to be honest.
Okay. You know what I'm learning? And thank you, Chris, for the call. I think when you have the uphill battle of trying to win a debate that on the surface is so wrong, with all due respect, Tommy, I mean, we all know Ryan Helsley is a walking abomination of a pitcher and has been far worse. You almost have less to prove. So winning the debate almost becomes easier because your point on the surface is so absurd that if you can just get a little bit in there, well, it's like he won.
I think Lugie touched the nerve, and it sticks with you. The beard policy thing, it touches a nerve.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, it was a very good point. It reminds
and
me.
And again, winning the debate isn't like who's right or who's wrong. It's just who makes you feel right or wrong.
I'll never forget this because I was really getting into politics. And it was Al Gore versus George W. Bush. And I've got my George W. Bush statue in front of me. So understand I respect him before I say what I'm about to say.
Strategery.
George W. Bush set the bar in his debate so low that if he could just complete a few sentences, people were going to be like, wow, Bush won the debate. Okay? Am I wrong? So Al Gore, intellectual, boring as all hell, and Governor Bush at the time, have a debate. All George W. did was complete a few sentences. And at the end of the debate on all the networks, it was like, I think he won. And it's like, did he win? Or did he just complete the low expectations that he set?
Right.
And quite frankly, it worked. The man was elected president twice, whether people like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tommy Lugauer's got a lot of dubs in him. Where it's like, hey, as long as he could put out one compelling point, it's like, I think he won.
It's true.
You like that comment?
It is. You fooled me. You fooled me. Fooled me once, but you know, I'm not going to get fooled again.
That felt so backhanded towards
me.
Dude,
I compared you to a president. I have a statue.
I understand that, but you set it up with that. Basically, George W. couldn't get a sentence out, and if he could, you know, like Al Gore was Mr. Charisma. He wasn't exactly Barack Obama. I mean, the guy could. He was boring.
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
I know, but
so you're agreeing with me.
I can't help but think that felt backhanded. I know you love him, but it felt snarky.
I compared you to somebody I have a statue of, and you're like, that's okay. Mean. Mm. I mean, it's not mean. I
didn't say it was mean. I just felt backhanded. That's all. Like, Lugie actually got a point across, but I'll take the win.
Sean, you accept your loss with dignity?
Without rules, there's anarchy. So those are the rules. I got to accept it.
It is now 9-8 in favor of Sean Morash.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.